wonder if QED ever has to deal with, you know, anti-feminists.
No, because they vet their fucking invitees before. They don't invite awful people.
Well, yeah. Actually, can I kind of speak on this for just a second?
Sure. So yeah.
The reason
stayed I stayed out of the fray. Let's yeah, get into it.
No, we're going to stay. I'm just going to listen to you and I'm going to present both sides. There were very nice people on both sides. So go ahead.
Okay. Last year's MythCon was Robert Price and Bart Ehrman. You know,
Robert Price. We know his disciple. She was on our show for about 30 seconds.
So, yeah, the Republican Atheist.
I remember. I'm a Patreon supporter, was 17 minutes.
17 minutes, that's right.
Ripping my own face off.
Exactly.
Regardless, though, Robert Price is an amazing Bible scholar, and it was a debate about the historicity of Jesus.
Oh, interesting.
And it was an awesome debate. Yeah. Really amazing. And this debate has been slated to happen for years before this, and finally it happened.
And this other guy's a believer?
Bart Ehrman, no, they're both atheists. But Bart Ehrman is a historicist, whereas Robert Price is a mythicist.
Oh,
so
okay.
The reason why I went to this debate is because I've only read one Bart Ehrman book. I've never read any of Robert Price's books, but I wanted to go and see what best arguments they can put forward.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I'm interested in seeing these debates and I want to see how the crowd is going to treat it. What, you know, who presents the best argument. Now, debate is one of many ways to get that out. And I think it's one of the best ways that we can for a group, for an audience, right? The point I'm getting at, I'm not going to go watch Sargon's videos and Shoe on Head and Armored Skeptics. I'm not going to go watch all of their videos. I listen to Thomas Smith's podcasts because I think he's an amazing debater and he's one of the best SJWs that this movement has to offer. He's incredibly articulate and keeps a cool head about him. So if I am not going to go to the work of consuming all of the work that these people have put together, I want to see them in a debate put head to head and elucidate their best arguments for whatever they think.
Sure.
Now, that being said, I consider myself an equalist, not a feminist or anti-feminist, an equalist. And if there is indeed criticisms of the feminist movement, who better to elucidate those than an anti-feminist? And when they present their arguments, I can judge the merits of their arguments. And if Sargon or one of these other presenters uses hate speech and inflammatory shit, they're going to be booed off the stage. I don't think we have to worry about that. These people have a big following.
You got to understand, these are people with huge followings that are going to draw a ton of people to these things.
I don't think that will actually happen because most of the people I know that are going to MythCon are going for the podcasters, not for the YouTubers. And I understand that was the impetus behind MythCon inviting these people because they have huge followings online. I think that's great trying to, you know, diversify the audiences and bring more people together. That's great. But I feel like the people that are on the atheist side of the movement that are opposed to anti-feminism are going to
realize... I think those are just feminists.
Yeah. Sure.
Opposed to anti-feminism.
That's an easier way to say it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's not a double negative.
Yeah, there you go. We're good. We can just call that feminist.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to not go to the conference. That's the point. I just want to see what they have to say, and I probably will never subscribe to any of these anti-feminists. But I'm still interested in seeing what they
have to say. They're not going to talk though about stuff like that. I think the only person who's going to actually have a conversation like that is going to be Sargon because Thomas Smith is going to push him. But I looked at the thing, and from what I remember, Shoe on Head and Armored Skeptic are going to have a conversation about like something about skepticism, but that's about it. It's not, as I recall, it was not like women in skepticism or something. It seemed like it was just like a generic roundtable about skepticism and not about any of the stuff that they've sort of been
controversial.
Which is great.
I think that's awesome. But okay, so the newest No Illusions Diatribe talked quite a bit about this. One way to humanize people that have difference of opinions is to go to a conference and meet them face to face. It's a lot harder to get really angry at somebody when you're not just screaming at a profile on Facebook, right?
Right.
In all caps and shit. So I think a great way to maybe try and humanize each other a little bit and try and have deep conversations about if there are legitimate criticisms of the feminist movement. I don't know what they would be because that's not my field of study. Let's have those conversations because every movement has its downfalls and its critiques and critics. And I think that having a conference like this is the best place to have those conversations.
Why is feminism?
I want to make sure though, real quick, I just want to mention that Armored Skeptic and Shiwan Head are doing skepticism in the social media age. So they may talk about something like that, but that's not implicit in what they're, you know, it's not, the title isn't, you know, feminism or anti-feminism. It's just skepticism in the social media age.
I'm not going to go to their YouTube comments section to try and have a legitimate conversation with these people.
Well, how could you in a YouTube's comment section?
That's, I mean, Seth says it perfectly. That's where discourse goes to die.
Right.
There's nothing there. So the only place that I feel like I can ever get to a legitimate conversation with these people is at a conference like MythCon. So granted, it is controversial. Granted, there's drama and stupid bullshit from both sides.
Yeah.
I still want to go and enjoy the time and enjoy the time with my friends that are going as well.
It's unlikely to be boring.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah.
It is. Well said.
And I admire something that's unlikely to be boring. Like, let's go. I would spectate that event.
I would go to that event. Like,
I would not lend our show to that event.
Yeah.
I would be uncomfortable with that, but I would spectate that event for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. It's unlikely to be boring. I fundamentally deeply disagree with, I don't know anything about Armored Skeptic or
I don't know anything
head.
About those two.
I don't know anything about them.
I did watch
Sargon.
I watched a pretty transphobic video that they supposedly apologized for, that she said she apologized for, but I watched the video and it's horrifically transphobic. Like, I watched the video and I was just like shocked at what they were saying. I was like, holy, and it wasn't, and here's the thing, it's not even funny. Like, you can be shocking and funny, and it wasn't even funny. Like, I don't know that, you know, some people would disagree that you could even be funny about that subject, but I watched it and I was like, you're not funny and you're just being fucking rude to somebody who posted a video online. And I was like, holy shit. Like, they were just tearing these people apart. Now, granted, they said they apologized for it, but at a certain point, you know, you've got to take people on their face value about what they're saying, right? You can only apologize for so much, right? So, for example, there's a guy by the name of PewDiePie who's online and he's been called out a couple times. I don't know if you guys know or have even seen any of this stuff.
I heard some controversy about some of the things.
Yeah, this guy was supposedly called out as a white supremacist by like Wall Street Journal. He made a big deal about how he wasn't a white supremacist, yada, 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 yada. And then he comes out and he has a video where he's online gaming and he calls someone the N-word. Like as a slur, call someone the N-word and just like blurts it out. And then he has this big apology video afterwards and a bunch of people are like, I don't care about it. It's huge. He apologized. I'm just like, if that's your go-to word, you don't just say that once in a while.
Yeah, how many times have you ever used that? I've never used that word.
Never. And so it's like, so if you're just going to throw out the N-word, that means that you're kind of comfortable throwing out the N-word.
Right. It means that pejorative lives in the back of your head for a reason.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like once in a while, you're just like trying to think of the one thing that you can say to make some.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're just like, no, right. that guy's probably says that a lot. Now, does that mean he's a racist? I don't know. I would say, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if that's a word you throw out on occasion, probably racist.
Yeah. Cause non-racists don't use that word as a slur.
Exactly.
I don't use racial slurs. Yeah. I use them exactly never.
Yeah.
Cause that's what I think about racial slurs.
Yeah.
But no, this, I think you're getting at a good point here, Cecil, is there are a certain subset of people that just go for the shock of it. And even without humor attached, you know, shock with humor is great.
Yeah.
You know, that's the selling point of cognitive dissonance, but people that just go for the shock jocks, that's not going to be appreciated in a public debate format that MythCon is trying to instill. And when something like that happens, if one of them goes up and just completely starts throwing out racial slurs, I think that is what is going to get them booed off the stage.
Let me address that real quick, because I got to say, like, I think that shock for shock's sake is totally valueless. I think it's socially bankrupt, valueless garbage. I don't think there's anything even remotely redeeming about shock without humor. Shock for the sake of shock is valueless, because it's just like, here's something that hurts people. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Shock to injure someone is useless. It's not just useless. It's bad. It's something that's objectively bad.
Right.
Shock. We use shock for humor all the time. We say things. That's how we interact. We try to say something that will make the other person go, holy shit, I can't believe you said that.
Integral to that aspect. Like, it's a part of the formula. If humor is missing, then it's like you said, it's valueless. It's useless.
What the humor does is it calls out the fact that the shocking portion, if you don't have the humor, what the humor does is it says, this is shocking because it's wrong.
Because it's bad.
Right. You know, what you're doing is you're saying like, let's point and laugh at how horrible the people who don't use that ironically are.
Yeah.
Right. That the humor is the point counterpoint.
Yeah.
If you don't have the counterpoint, then you're just being a shitty person.
Yeah.
Right? It's a fucking troll.
Yeah. And trolling is valueless. It offers nothing to the world except for to bring more pain and suffering to people's lives.
Yeah.
And is a morally bankrupt, shitty, meaningless, empty thing to do. It's only done by morally bankrupt, shitty, empty people.
And it's usually aimed at people who are already dealing with shit all the time.
Yeah. It always
doesn't help. It doesn't make it any better.
It's so true. Cause it's always against somebody who's like, you know, gosh, I have to wade through a million emails a day because people hate me. Oh, great. Now I got another one from someone who hates me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. It's a pile on thing.
Yeah. For trolling punches down every time.
Every time.
Yeah. Every single time. It's garbage.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about something you said? You said something like, you know, feminism as a controversial topic in our movement. Why is feminism a topic in an atheist movement? It is. It clearly is. But atheism has nothing necessarily to do with feminism.
I don't know if conflation is the right word, but it seems like anything that is... The thing is, atheism has expanded to incorporate so many people beyond where it was even just 5 years ago, right? Atheism is now incorporating so many people who consider themselves social liberals and social justice warriors who tend to gravitate towards these broad issues that seem to affect people that they see as maligned in society, right? So when those people begin to add into the atheist movement... You can only argue about whether or not God exists for so long and then you get bored. Suddenly you want to talk about some other things of what other people have interest in.
So is this just part of a larger humanist movement? Don't you think?
Yes,
I mean, that's how I feel. Like this is large. We have these atheist conferences, but they're really humanist conferences.
Is there anything wrong with that? I mean, I think that's a better thing. That's better for society. The bigger that these conferences get, the more that we incorporate different ideas and different focuses of interest, the better and more rounded the community is going to become.
There's no real moral component when it comes to just straight atheism, right? The moral component is there's no moral component because the question is there a God? No, there's not. And you don't have to be a skeptic to be an atheist, and you don't have to be moral to be an atheist, and you don't have to have any of these extra things. You could be a white supremacist guy who believes in flying saucers and still be an atheist.
Yeah.
I mean, you could absolutely be those things. Those things are not mutually exclusive. And I think what happens is when you start bringing in philosophy and things like that, people start thinking about ethics. They start thinking about things that are ethical. And they're like, oh, well, maybe we should try to think about what ethics means to us.
Well, we don't have a rule book to go by.
Right.
So we have to have these arguments.
Yep.
We have to see who has the best idea and let the best idea win out.
Sure. And so ethics is a topic of conversation at a lot of these things, because if you're not getting your moral compass from the Bible and you're not getting your moral compass from, you know, what your preacher said, then you've got to figure it out some way.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to do throughout atheism now. And that's, you know, I know that it gets shit on, but that's what the Atheism Plus movement was about. That's what it was about. It was about this, let's bring humanism into atheism. And then it turned into, you know, a bunch of people that hated feminism and a bunch of people who liked feminism. And then they just all fought about that one thing, that one thing.
Well,
they probably agreed on a lot of other things.
I think the best part about it is it's egalitarian, because we are equals having these conversations. We all have equal access to this information, right? When the primary movement of Catholicism was that they had the Latin Bible, and the preachers knew Latin, and they told everybody what the moral code was. Well, we don't have information locked behind anything anymore. There are no authorities anymore when it comes to information.
Yeah.
That is a two-edged sword, because it seems like, oh, I can Google a thing. Now I'm an authority on something, right? It requires study and thought and proper research in order to fully understand a topic. But it also means that we're not looking to anybody who has their own ideas and their own flaws about a certain philosophy or topic as the lawgiver. We are having these conversations as equals, and we are arguing on a level playing field about what is actually most moral.
In fact, we're actually doing the exact opposite of that. What we're doing is we're finding these people that are thought leaders in atheism are not people that are moral leaders. We're finding that out. We're saying, oh, this person here, this, let's say, I'm just going to use an example of Michael Shermer. Oh, this person here published this paper and does it. You know what I mean? Like we're we're finding that these people are not moral leaders. Sam Harris is coming out as more and more, not a moral leader. He's not a moral, he doesn't have a,
which is crazy. Cause he wrote The Moral Landscape.
The Moral Landscape. But he's coming out as a person who you identify less and less as a moral, as a person who you would look for and say, give me an idea of where my moral compass should be.
Well, you and I do.
Yeah.
But a lot of other people within the movement don't. I wonder, you know, like, is all of this that we're talking about, is this just the next step? This is just indicative of the next step, the next evolution in this sort of atheist movement. As atheism has sort of matured, is it necessarily mature into these conversations about ethics and then splinters off? Is this sort of like the atheist reformation?
Yeah, that's a very interesting way to put it. Yeah, I guess it could be.
And I think the more that we oppose something like this, the more we're trying to view atheism through like an atheism 5 years ago type of lens. And I think that that's, unfortunately, that just ignores so much of what this movement has been important in exercising on the community and on our own moral, our own moral dictates. Because suddenly we see people who we venerate as these atheist leaders having debates with a nobody on Twitter, and the leader looks like a fucking idiot. We can stand back and objectively say, oh, that person whose books I've read is obviously wrong about this thing. I'm going to pay attention to this person who's actually right about this thing. Mm-hmm. I think that that is a democratization of our own morality. And I think that is an evolution. And I think it's a necessary evolution for the atheist movement to incorporate.
Sure.
Because we can't just fucking live in 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Yeah.